the Dish Nation. Eddie Murphy is sharing the worst advice he ever got.
And Jay-Z explains the origin of the Rockefeller hand sign.
And here to dish with us today is entertainment journalist Melissa Knowles.
Hey. Oh, it's always so great to be here. Okay, tell us what you got first, HK.
All right, so last year, Rick Ross and Meek Mill dropped their track, Shaq and Kobe, but believe it or not, Rosé has another connection to Shaq. Now, during a chat with Complex, he shared that he almost signed with Shaq's Twism Records back in the day. Check this out.
All right, we met in Atlanta somewhere. We met in a restaurant. We was in a restaurant. Then we went in the back in the kitchen. I spit a few bars for him. He gave me his contact. We stayed in touch a little while, but you know how it go.
But look at it now. You went from almost signing to him. Now you're your own Kobe and Shaq.
I signed him.
You might, yeah, that's fire.
Wait, okay. Is he also talking about the 90s here?
Like Rick Ross has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
If you peep like the earlier slip and slide records and stuff like that, like Rick Ross has been around. And Shaq has always been like a hip hop adjacent dude. So that encounter definitely makes sense, but everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
It's also one of those things, it's like hindsight's always 20/20, right? It's like the number of mistakes or setbacks or whatever, it all led you to this specific point.
Right.
And like, Rick is like a year or two away from being a billionaire? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So it's like any little mistake in the past could have changed that course.
Mm. Or not even a mistake, but just something to alter his path and send him in a different direction so it takes him longer to become a billionaire. Something tells me that Rick Ross, do it, go ahead. Would have become a billionaire no matter what he chose to do. He just gives billionaire energy.
Yeah, nah, the hustle is undeniable.
So real. All right, it is New Year's Day, and lots of people are making resolutions, right? Well, if you're still trying to think of something, Kate Middleton might have an idea for you. She recently shared that one of her hobbies is cold water swimming. She said, "The colder, the better. I absolutely love it. Slightly to the point where William's like, Catherine, you're crazy. And it's dark and it's raining."
Oh,
girl. I kind of love it. First of all, she's a go-getter. She's a mom of three. And she is giving, that's right, I'm regal, every day. And if cold water swimming is how she helps to achieve this look, keep it going. Keep it going, okay? Butterfly it, if you will. Is that how they butterfly? I don't know how to do it.
Tana, what is it with the less melanated in it and their fascination with, like, you know, polar plunges and all that stuff, man?
Wait, you're absolutely less melanated.
Those of us melanin challenged.
Melanin challenged. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, or the melanin, as I like to say. We love the cold. I don't know what it is. We like the cold water, cold plunges. I believe you did a cold water plunge once.
And I lasted about, like, I don't know, 17 seconds.
That's a long time.
Not compared to the homie that was in there for like 3.5. And I've done like, you know, cryo chamber freezes before.
Oh.
That's different because it's cold air. Like when you outside, cold is cold. But there's something about cold water, like my bones hate it, yo.
So you polar dipped instead of polar plunging. You just dipped a little bit.
Not polar plunked. Polar punked. Like, I punked out, man. I was like, I'm out.
Recently, while on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Blake Shelton recalled that early in his career, he was afraid to go on stage at an award show, and Billy Ray Cyrus gave him a strange pep talk. Check this out.
"Did you all right?" And I go, "Man, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death right now to walk out there." And he's like, "What do you mean?" I go, "I've just never been on TV, and I got to sing." And he goes, "Hey, man, listen, even if you do great, this is the music industry. Most of those people are gonna make fun of you and roll their eyes anyway, man. It's like, this is the music industry. You need to toughen up a little bit, man. People make fun of you." I remember, like, that was his pep talk to me.
What, that's the pep talk?
That was his pep talk. He probably doesn't remember that.
That's amazing. Oh.
That's great. You're welcome. Blake Shelton,
you're welcome. He was getting ready to go on the Apollo or something. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yo, not the Apollo. It's your
time. But the audience that was probably there for country music, so you halfway in. All you got to do is go out there and rock out, be great.
That's true.
You didn't get here by mistake.
Yeah.
And you're also rocking a mullet just like Billy Ray at the time. Mm-hmm. Please, you were welcomed.
The country man's cape.
It's weird. Billy Ray's got that. It is. It's beautiful, isn't it? You know, Billy Ray's got that interesting perspective where it's like anybody who's like had one hit that just exploded and like dominated the moment. And then if you're not able to recreate that like astronomical success and you become a one hit wonder, eventually they make fun of you for that song.
I mean,
you know?
Everybody can't be Garth Brooks.
True story.
You know, everybody ain't able. I mean, so you're not expecting to be Garth Brooks. broke straight out the gate or even building to that. Like, that's so aspirational. But to have somebody tell you the truth from the beginning, like, everybody's not going to like you, and you got to suck it up and perform. If this is really what you want to do, suck it up and perform. Thank goodness he told him that early in his career.
Wait, Gary, I can only imagine people come to you all the time and ask you for advice on, like, the entertainment industry or radio or different things. What is, like, the advice that you give out to people?
Tell them, no, ever kiss... Because, honey, it'll always get you. It'll lead you up the wrong path. Mm-hmm. And don't trust a smiling face.
That's it? That's your big uplifting?
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Thomas,
well, I have a lot more, but, you know.
You can't share it all.
I just can't share them all.
Can't give them all for free?
Yeah.
Masterclass.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good thing that Eddie Murphy decided to pave his own way early in his career. Because it was a resurfaced clip that's going viral from 2020. It was an interview he did where Eddie recalled the worst advice he's ever received. And it was by the way of late comic Rodney Dangerfield.
Ooh.
Mr. No Respect Himself. Now, according to Eddie, Rodney criticized him about his racy comedy style. But good thing Eddie knew what bad advice sounded like. Check this out.
Dangerfield sees me and he's like, hey, kid, I don't know where you're going to go with that, you know, the language and the race stuff. And what are you going to do? What do you need to do that? Now that I was crestfallen, cut to 2-3 years later, I got on Saturday Night Live and had gotten really successful. And I was at Vegas in the bathroom at Caesar's Palace. And I was at the urinal. The Dangerfield comes to the urinal right next to me. And I look over and he looks at me and says, hey, who knew? Yeah, that's my famous advice story.
I think he quickly learned to not listen to old people because Bill Cosby also had some advice for him that was definitely, I'm glad he didn't take it. You know what I mean?
I get it,
I just love Dangerfield strolling right back up the urinal and being, who knew? You know, like, that's
wait,
beautiful.
Do you talk at urinals? I thought you're supposed to keep your eyes straight.
You know, you always look over.
You do?
See the neighbor. Nah. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that was something people
did. That's what we do all the time.
I act like I'm in a neck brace.
I don't know. I'm not sure that's a thing.
You don't think so, Tanner?
No.
Is that a thing for you?
No, it's not a thing for me. Or you look at the ceiling. That's the other thing men do.
How long are you standing there?
Okay.
Well, Jay-Z has revealed the origin of the Rockefeller diamond hand sign he made popular during his rap career. So in a recent interview, Jay discussed how he and his Rockefeller crew came up with a famous gesture that's been a staple in pop culture. Look at this.
Where did you get that idea from to do that?
When we first started, we had a group called Chris John. When you sell 10 million, you go diamond.
Diamonds. Okay.
Right? We believed in them so heavy. It was like, this group is going to sell 10 million records. So we start putting the diamond up for Chris John. That's how it all came about. And then we start playing with it. And then we start doing it at shows. Then the whole crowd started doing it and just stuck. Yeah.
How dare you? That's just like throwing up the hooks as a mega. You can't do that.
The what?
Oh, man, where's the black fraternity? I'm sorry.
That's one thing if Jay-Z was going like this. Then that is the Delta sign.
But the Delta?
And depending on how good your thumbs and fingers are, you truly create that diamond.
Your dexterity is really what we're talking about.
When you look at that, you're looking at the Delta Sigma
Theta. You're repping for the ladies right there with that.
Okay. And that's the whatever his sign is, too, honey.
So. I mean, there's a lot of things that go with, like, hand signs sometimes, because sometimes in pictures, I don't know what to do with my hands. Right. And there's been numerous occasions where people walked up to me and say, hey, what degree? And I'm like, hey, whoa, I don't know what you're talking about.
Whoa.
Like,
hey, what degree?
Yeah, like, you know, there's certain hand gestures that mean certain things.
I would have a bachelor's. I'm going to have a bachelor's.
Nah, that's not what they meant.
Oh.
Tell me not what they meant.
Oh, my goodness.
Up next, Chloe Bailey lets men know what happens if they ever cheat on her. We'll get into that after the break.
Oh, no.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back.
Hey.
All right, fellas. If your New Year's wish is to get with Chloe Bailey, you better be a faithful man because she will chuck them deuces in a heartbeat. Now, during a recent interview, Chloe revealed that despite warning a couple exes that if they cheat, she will lead them, they still did it. Mm. But listen to how Chloe says she once dealt with it.
Not putting away evidence, panties, hair ties.
You found panties.
A lash extension on the shower floor. That's not mine, and I haven't been wearing lashes for a while.
Well, how much evidence did you need?
Till I can't be gaslit out of it.
Get it. Yes!
When I tell you, sisters are the world's greatest detectives.
Like, all the world. Respect.
Above Batman, above Sherlock Holmes. You know what I mean? Yo, they will stack the case against you until you got no way out of it.
And hunt you down. Don't play games with me. Yo. Because please.
Not the eyelash on the shower floor.
Yeah, please, you're getting sloppy there, brother.
You got to collect. What
real
you mean?
Sloppy.
And panties?
You know, it's one thing that she said that was so profound to
what
me.
What was what? It? What'd she say?
She said it doesn't matter how bad you are. You know what bad means. Mm. Uh-huh. Y'all know what bad
yes,
means.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
You'll still get cheated on.
Why do you think that is?
Because men are just cheaters.
Mm. Not all men.
Not all
women
men.
Be cheating
all
too.
All men.
You cheat?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure you was with
and
us.
Let me tell you why I cheat. Because just in case your ass cheating, I'm doing something too. So
wait, just in case? Gonna, okay.
That's not a good justification.
Not like that.
He's going tip for tat.
That's right, okay. Tip for tat, just in case.
What tip with a P.
What are the signals? Wait, hold on, Gary. What are the things that you've discovered that let you know somebody was cheating on you?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't me particularly, but specifically, but I have a friend. He would smell his friend when he come in the house.
Don't, no, no, no.
Smells.
No, 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 no.
He would smell.
There's a song about this. There's a song about this.
Oh, is it?
Right? Isn't there?
Yeah.
I don't know, but he would smell his friend. Make sure, honey. So that goes to show you cheaters out there. Make sure that the same soap at her house.
How you know he didn't go pick up a fish sandwich and then roll home with it on his lap?
Okay. Come on.
So you're saying them women stink? He don't mess with them. But anyway.
Moving along. Another diabolical lad, Jeremy Allen White, who stars in The Bear, said he learned how to shut the hell up after commenting, wow, on a post of Euphoria actress Alexa Demi in lingerie shots from her Calvin Klein ad campaign. So those three little letters got folks' attention since he was also separating from his wife at the time. Well, now Jeremy claims he was just admiring the photographer's work, but he got trolled so hard that he called his publicist and said, I just need to shut the up. I just shouldn't say anything. And she agreed. Now, some fans commented that he should get a burner account, and someone else straight up told him to take a number and get in line. In 2024, maybe people shouldn't look so deeply into the comments, perhaps. Maybe he was just being a guy, seeing a pretty girl, and saying, wow.
He needs to stand 10 toes down. At the end of the day, you're getting divorced. That relationship is over, right? You outside.
Maybe.
Wow also could stand for women of worship. At the end of the day, if Shorty bad and she's single and he liked it, why does he have to do a burner account when you're a single dude?
Would you do that if your wife saw your picture's head crack? You, wow, and some other woman, would she like that?
I mean, like, I wouldn't say wow because, like, yeah, like, because I know the eyes would be, like, if you're in a relationship, right? He is on the outs of a relationship.
But he ain't officially on the outs.
Hey, listen, them things take sometimes too long, and, yeah, listen, man, when the wind blows, you got to do something.
Mm. All right, coming up, Stephen A. Smith says being alone, hot and bothered on this certain day of the week is the worst. We'll get into that after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back. Hey. All right, y'all. Stephen A. Smith obviously knows a lot about sports. Well, in addition to that, thanks to a fan's question, it seems he apparently knows the worst day of the week to be horny. Thanks, Stephen. You heard that right. Listen to this very interesting theory.
Here we go.
Worst day of the week to be horny to me is Sunday night. Because chances are most people got to work Monday morning. And the week hasn't started yet. And a lot of times you want to relax, wind down, and enjoy the end of the weekend before you get into the muck and mire, the hustle
keep
of the week.
Close.
I mean, I'm assuming you're going to do you're going to do several times a week, but the worst day to be horny is Sunday.
Why is this so creepy?
Because
it's
his
tone,
his voice changed, his cadence changed.
Even that spooky campfire lighting that he had in his face.
Why did he do that?
What is this? Scary stories to tell in the dark? Because that was very spooky, sir.
But is there like an off-limit day that you feel like is worse
off-limit
than other days?
Day.
Or a bad day? Like, man.
I think the worst day is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Why?
That's hump day.
Oh, well.
And then that's Bible study day.
Oh, Bible study?
Yes. That's Bible study. That.
You so can't, I, you know. Once you're right with the Lord, you can't get horny again?
Never.
Well, I mean, especially if you're single because it's a sin.
Yeah.
On Wednesday nights when you do the best scripture is, he who sins cast the first stone.
I thought it was he without sin cast the first stone because we're all sinners.
Oh, I don't know.
Hump day! Okay, well, speaking of being hot and bothered, singer Genuine revealed how his classic hit, My Pony, take me back to high school, how that came about, and believe it or not, it was kind of a fluke, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I know, look.
When Timbaland played Pony. Of course, the lyrics wasn't made, of course, right? Me and Static was in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And he told me that he was using it for some bodyguards for interlude.
Oh, wow.
Nobody said nothing. Not even Static. Love him to death. That's my man. I said, Tim, can I please have that? Are you crazy? he was like, what are you talking about? You like that? Tim, look at me in the camera. Timberlake didn't even hear that. You know what I'm saying? That's my man. Love him to death. Nah. But honestly, he was like, you like that? I said, I love it. Please don't use that as an interlude, dude.
Wow. Producers are like that. Like, they always will hate, like, I just made that beat in 2 minutes. Like, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Trash.
Like, yo, what are you talking about? It's crazy.
Kidding me?
Like, and that's the song we know Ginuwine
the
for.
Song. Yeah. The original song that I was way too young to be listening to. Oh, my God. I can hear it playing in my head right now.
Oh, it's
can
classic. You hear it? That's one of those songs that, like, if you're at church camp and if you went to the Methodist church camp where you would get a dance, they would like play like maybe 30 seconds of that song before someone have to come around and be like, all right, leave a little room for the Holy Spirit.
They played Ginuwine at church
you
camp?
Would only get like a few seconds of one of those songs, and then one of the pastors would be like,
was it a request or was that already on the playlist?
If you knew the DJ, you could like sneak one in because that would just
Methodist,
be like a high school
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, wow.
Catholic church.
No, this is a Methodist church camp. Yo, a lot happened in Methodist church.
Fade the song out before the hook comes on, before the horny part.
No, he's saying, if you're holy, let's do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, was Priscilla Presley almost Priscilla Kardashian?
What?
We have that tea right after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Okay, Priscilla Presley might be known for being married to Elvis Presley, but she could have been known for being a Kardashian. Mm. So the late Robert Kardashian Sr.'s close friend said that the two were inseparable and he wanted to marry her after she left Elvis. That is until she cooked for him. Uh-oh. Well, not 100% her cooking, but it definitely played a part of his decision, along with Elvis being a pain to them while they were dating. So insiders said that Robert wanted to make her an Armenian housewife, and when she cooked for him, he hated it and asked her to never cook again for him.
I mean, like, yeah. Robert Kardashian is what I'm gonna call him now, right? Because, like, wow. Yo, he was outside. Competing at a celebrity level.
That part could be a little bit impressive.
How bad did that cooking have to be to where, like, right. Yo, we can't have a relationship? Like, asparagus is kind of just like a skillet and some oil.
Yeah. Like, yo, think about this, though. If Robert married Priscilla and he gets that Elvis money, is he going on to pursue an aggressive career in law, and is he getting OJ on?
So
in an alternate universe, OJ still is roaming the streets.
No, in an alternate universe, OJ stays with Chris.
Oh
my God.
And Robert and Priscilla, you know what I'm saying? They do what they do.
But we're missing the point though. We're talking about cooking. What about tossed salad? Is that a cooked meal?
It's always served raw. Yeah.
Oh.
Not cooking till you apply heat.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.